Am I doing this right?
Wait, was that him crying? Is he choking?
Oh my god. It's 4:30.
I think he might have pooped.
Nose goes on the diaper change.
I think we need to give him a bath.
I am so tired. I ordered something else on Amazon.
What's that weird rash?
Do we let him cry this time?
Do you think we need to call
the
doctor?
What time do you think he should go down tonight? Oh my god, he's so cute.
Siri, play Wheels on the Bus. We're sleeping.
Welcome to Probably Okay Parenting,
a podcast where we process our challenges and celebrations as it relates to being parents.
Yip-de-doo.
I'm Allison.
I'm Brian.
We are parents to a 16-month-old
boy.
There
we go.
Yeah, had to remember. And we are in the middle of a Snowmageddon? Polar vortex.
I haven't heard that term in like a couple of years, but is that the term that's being thrown around right now?
I think it might be. But
okay.
Anyway, thanks so much for listening. This is episode 18.
We are so
appreciative of all of our loyal listeners out there.
That's a lot. Yeah, we are really appreciative of the listeners whom we know and also the listeners whom we don't know. And I'll say like 1.1 for the listeners we don't know. You know what I mean? Just a little extra for the listeners we don't know.
Today, we're going to talk about what it's like to be stuck inside with our 16-month-old, very active toddler and our attempts to keep him entertained. And we're also going to discuss some parenting news.
Yay.
We're going to talk about an article that examines the effects of gentle parenting, which is a very popular
gentle parenting
technique.
As opposed to violent parenting?
We'll get there.
Okay.
All right, let's start with our
Great recap. Recap.
My recap of the week is we just had a bunch of family in town, so now we're just experiencing a little quiet time. And it's always nice to have family. It's always nice to be around family, especially since our family kind of like lives all over the place, all four corners of the United States. But it's also nice to have a little peace and quiet after. Our guy did really, really well with family, and he doesn't seem to have any issues or anything when there's like a lot of people around, you know, and acclimates pretty quickly to everything, especially like having guests and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it though for my recap. Yeah, just you know, very much living in sweats. Not that that's anything different for me personally, but you know, since it's like -9 degrees on some of these days, we're not even going outside to get the mail.
All right.
And you?
So it's really cold right now. I think it's really cold all over the country, but we live in the Midwest, right to the west of Chicago, and it's been like between -7 and 4 degrees the last couple of days, and a lot of snow, so there's not any going outside. In addition, everything's closed because it's Christmas, so the idea of taking our guy to like an indoor play space or a children's museum, nope, out.
That's a no.
So no going outside, no going anywhere, so it's up to mom and dad to make camp Christmas exciting.
I guess
camp, yeah. Indoors. So our main segment today is just going to talk about the various activities we've been trying to entertain our guy with. It's become very clear that just hanging out and playing with his toys is not that fun anymore. He needs new stimulation.
Agree to disagree. I mean, I think it's very interesting because right now he's so different around us individually, like when just you're with him or when just I'm with him.
Yes.
But when just he and I are together, he's like, he could play with one toy just by himself for a long time. And you know, we'll interact a lot and have fun together, but also he can be like left alone for a little while.
Well, that's not the experience with mom.
Yeah, for y'all, you guys have like more interactive activities that you're setting up because that he wants to play with you. He doesn't want to play like around you, whereas he wants me like watching him. He wants you very much involved in the activity.
Yes. So I went on ye olde internet, one of my favorite websites, Pinterest.com.
Yeah, actually, this website is sponsored by the internet.
Pinterest.com has a solution for any problem in your life that you possibly could ever be having.
Yeah, that any problem that can be solved with a vision board.
Yeah. So I typed in the search bar on Pinterest, how to keep young toddler entertained. And let me tell you, a plethora of activities came up. So many. So last night after he went to bed, I was scrolling them thinking like, okay, what can we do tomorrow based on the materials I currently have in my house? I'm not going to go get anything. It's -5 degrees. I'm just going to look up stuff I can do with basic household materials. So we did a lot today. Actually, I do feel like I ran a summer camp program today. I got to say, for one 16-month-old, it was activity, 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 no downtime. Let's go, go, go.
Yeah, I definitely got my money's worth.
I put pictures of all these activities on our Instagram at Probably Okay Parenting. So check out the activities. You can see what they look like.
Okay.
So first up, the activity suggests that you take an oatmeal container, you cut a slit in the top, and you get a deck of playing cards. And your young toddler can practice taking one playing card at a time and putting it in the slit in the top and getting it into the container, putting them all in there, and then opening the container, pouring them out, and having them do it again. So this activity did not take a long time to set up. Cut a slit in the top of this plastic container. Boom, playing cards. Gotta say, right off the bat, big hit, big win.
Oof. Well, I'm glad that you're coming out the gate feeling confident, because I do have a little feedback for you.
Oh, no.
I think the reason that they say to use an oatmeal container is because the bottom is cardboard.
Okay.
So you can just very easily cut like a big slit into it. You use like a plastic container with a very hard plastic lid.
Okay.
So when you actually like cut the slit into it, it pretty much just created like a very jagged top that he can just, you know, not get the cards into. Basically just shred the cards.
Well, it's an added obstacle.
Fingers. Yeah. Oh, okay. I guess it has been. He really took to that, though. I definitely agree. He took to it very quickly.
Yeah,
and seemed
it was fun
to enjoy it throughout the whole day. Like, he was revisiting it a number of times.
Yeah, so win for camp director mom. Next activity, painter's tape on the wall. Somebody on Pinterest wrote, all you have to do is put little strips of painter's tape on a section of your wall, and your toddler will go up, peel them off, stick them in different places, and just like have fun taking the little bits of tape and putting them around.
This seemed like a good idea.
And I was excited.
I personally will say that maybe among the activities, this was my personal favorite to enjoy.
Oh, okay. You liked putting the tape in different areas.
Well, I just like taking it off, but yeah.
So excited about this one. Felt pretty positive that our camper was going to respond positively, and brought him over to the site, and he was terrified.
The site.
He was terrified.
Yeah, he was, for some reason, just blue painter's tape is
scary.
What is the opposite of your spirit animal?
Yeah, he clung to me and cried. Did not want to play with it. I even tried to show him, like, look, it's fun. You just stick it in different areas. Not into it.
Yeah, no, he was not feeling that.
So that was a fail for the camp director. Next up, water painting. So I saw on there, all you have to do, take a paintbrush, a little cup of water, and a construction paper. You can tape the construction paper to the high chair or to the counter, wherever you're doing this. I put our guy in his learning tower so he could stand up at the counter and do it. Put the bowl of water, got the paintbrush, and demonstrated to him, look, you dip the paintbrush in the water, and then you do these beautiful strokes on the paper, and it makes this beautiful design in water. So easy, right?
You know, if you don't know what she's talking about, but you have been to Disney before, it's basically like, you know, the people who, like, I think they paint the street or the sidewalk or something with the water, and it's like Goofy's face. It's basically
it's
that.
Just like that.
Just on your countertop.
He made Goofy's face.
Yeah, it was the spitting image.
So all he wanted to do is splash the water.
Well, obviously, yeah. It's like, how are you going to explain to him at 16 months, okay, this is a paintbrush.
Well, you know, he can mimic what I'm doing, but no,
that's
not into
true.
The brush, just into splashing the water everywhere with his hands. But you know what? That was still a fun activity.
He really likes the feel of water.
Of course. And the cleanup wasn't bad. It's just some water. So let's go
that's
for
true.
It. Let him have it. Splash, splash, splash. The paper, really not important in this activity for him. But we had some fun splashing around.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So I'd say that was a mostly win for the camp director.
Sure. Let's just say water sports, indoor water
exactly.
sports. You can just get a bowl of water and that's plenty.
That would work next time. Next up, paper towel roll on the wall.
Yeah, obviously a paper towel roll is a classic toy in general.
Oh,
like
fun.
I definitely
yes.
remember playing with that. And there's a lot of applications.
Wait, you remember playing with that?
What do you mean?
Like when you're in middle school or what?
Like, yeah, a little kid, you know, you make like, you know, you use it as a sword or, you know, whatever.
Okay.
And one thing that I really appreciate, and I not just appreciate, I'm proud of, is I did teach him to use it as like a bullhorn or like a megaphone.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So he just walks around the house going,
yeah, he yells into it. It's pretty funny.
That's pretty funny. I do enjoy that.
So the geniuses on Pinterest explained that all you have to do is use painter's tape again. Hopefully not too scary this time.
Yeah.
Tape a paper towel roll vertically on the wall. And then they suggested using little cotton balls. You know, sometimes there's like colorful cotton balls. And just practice like putting them through the paper towels.
Who just has like bags of cotton balls?
Well, you know, if you're a crafty type of person, you probably have some.
What are you doing with these cotton balls?
Like you glue them onto paper. You could use them as like eyes if you're making a drawing of a face or something.
Eyes?
Yeah.
I don't think
They're
so.
They're for crafts. I know we have some crafty listeners. All right, Tell us what you use cotton balls for.
Yeah, that can be our first comment of the week. Let us know what you've been using your cotton balls for.
So anyway, all this to say, I didn't have cotton balls. So I thought, what other small object do I have that we could practice putting through the paper towel roll so we could see it go on the top and then come out the bottom? It was just a delightful activity. So I found some poker chips. We happen to have a collection of poker chips. And our guy took the poker chips and put them, held them up at the top, let him go, and they fell through the paper towel roll onto the floor, and it was delightful. He laughed and had a great time with us.
Yeah, he really liked that one. Yeah. So we got cards, we got poker chips, then was there dice or like slot machines involved?
Yeah, well, we're clearly training him to be a blackjack connoisseur.
Yes.
All right, and then our last camp activity of the day today was Rainbow Spaghetti Sensory Bin. And this is something I've seen. I saw this actually on Pinterest and other places even before we had a kid and thought, this looks so fun. I want to do this. So basically what it is you just make spaghetti and then you divide your spaghetti into different sections and you dye the spaghetti strands with food coloring. You let it dry and then you put it into a bin, or in my case, I used a Tupperware container, and it's so fun. It's like slimy and colorful and fun to play with. And the ones online suggested using like two boxes of pasta, like so big, these giant sensory bins. I felt like that was kind of wasteful. I didn't want to waste a bunch of spaghetti. And you could eat it, but after you like get your hands all in there and play with it, I didn't really want our guy to eat it. So I didn't use a ton. I used a small amount and it was plenty.
And he was like throwing it on the floor and everything.
Yeah, he had a lot of fun with this. And so did I. It's so cool looking. It's so cool feeling. He would like hold it up in front of his eyes and play peekaboo with it. He would throw it around. He would just like
feel
it.
Yeah, he was really enjoying it.
He did try to eat it a few times. And it's kind of hard to explain, like, actually, I don't really want you to eat that, even though, yes, it is food. But right now we're just going to play with it. But it was so fun.
You know, right around like Pride Day, every corporation in America pretends to care about like social justice and like social values and things like that. It was kind of like that. Like it was like Pride,
what?
Like Barilla was having a Pride Day, basically. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Okay, except that it's December, not June, but yeah.
Anyway, so it was just like a rainbow spaghetti situation. Now, you know, I don't know, something about the word sensory sometimes, I don't know if cringe is the right word or eye roll, but it's just like, you know, it was a Tupperware filled with spaghetti. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's a cool like
and
feeling.
I agree with you, there's definitely like obviously sensory things involved there, but it, I don't know, it just, the grandiose nature, perhaps, of the word sensory, you know, makes me think like we've created this big exhibit for him. You know what I'm saying? I was going to say that was definitely our best activity. Now, the way that I knew this was not just from like seeing him enjoy it, but he was like actually squealing for part of that.
Yes, I know. It was exciting.
And he was throwing it. Well, the other reason we didn't want him to eat it was because he was throwing a lot of it on the floor. And then our dog was like kind of eating it. And But yeah,
so
it was
at the end
times.
Of today, Brian took a picture of our kitchen living room situation and said, "This looks like somebody played Jumanji in here."
What did you call it?
Jumanji.
Jumanji?
Jumanji?
I think it's called Jumanji.
Okay. That's basically what I said.
I don't think so.
It was such a mess. And I can't wait till we're done recording and Brian's going to clean it all up.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Yeah. So one day at home with one toddler results in just stuff everywhere. And today's Christmas Eve. Tomorrow's actually Christmas Day. So we're going to have camp part two.
Yeah. We're going to have to somehow like gamify putting things away.
Do you remember back in the old days when we'd be like snowed in and we would make hot cocoa and sit on the couch or the blanket and watch Netflix all day?
Vaguely. Are you sure that that was me?
It's such a different experience.
Yeah. I mean,
he's worth it, but it's a different experience.
Different experience. Yes.
Thanks for that contribution. All in all, it was a successful camp day here. Feel pretty tired in my new role as camp director, but I think job well done today. And I put pictures up of all the activities we talked about on Instagram at Probably Okay Parenting. Check them out. Hopefully you can adapt some if you have a young toddler. And a lot of fun. All right, we're going to launch into some parenting news.
Parenting news.
Okay. Brian, what do you think of when I say the words gentle parenting?
Well, as I said earlier, it makes me think of what is the opposite of gentle parenting? Is it just like throwing your child down a flight of stairs as parenting? Like, what is that?
I think the opposite of gentle parenting is just like kind of dismissal of feelings. This is how it is. This is how it's going to go. No, you're not going to do that. You're going to do it this way. It's parent-led instead of child-led.
So you're saying gentle parenting is child-led?
Yes.
Okay, go on.
Yes, so gentle parenting is kind of an overarching term for a parenting trend that I think has been picking up steam over the last couple of years. Have you heard of the class Big Little Feelings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's, I think, under this umbrella. Janet Lansbury, she's an author. She has a podcast. She has classes about respectful parenting.
Murder, She Wrote.
No Bad Kids is kind of her catchphrase.
Well, she obviously was never a teacher.
And basically, it's just like treating babies like adults, kind of, instead of a doll. It's like acknowledging what? That babies and young toddlers have valid feelings and should be respected and not just like thrown around like a doll.
So yes, thrown down a flight of stairs. Okay, finally we came full circle.
No. Like when a kid has a meltdown or if they fall, you're not supposed to say like, you're okay, come on, let's go. Because maybe they're not okay.
100% of
the time. Yeah, actually there's a lot of things in this article that we do that we maybe need to discuss. So I want to discuss an article I read today. The title is Child-Centered Parenting May Be in Vogue, But Does It Work When Your Child Kicks Off? ?
Okay, anytime there's an article about what you should or should not do, I'm always very, very hesitant. I don't know what the word is, but I go in definitely with a grain of salt, basically, if that makes sense. So let me start with this. Which publication?
The Guardian.
Okay, that's a rag.
Enough said.
And then the next question is, who wrote it? And like, are they a parent?
Yeah, of course. She's an opinion writer for The Guardian, I think.
Okay, great. Go on.
So anyway, it's just about finding the line between like over-validation of your child and dismissal.
And
so,
what age are we talking about here?
All ages, okay. Literally, from day one.
Day one, wow.
Yeah. So I think something that we do that maybe isn't great is we really praise him for every single thing. Like when we're talking about the activities we're doing today, like every little playing card he put in this bin, we're clapping, yay! We do that a lot. And according to many parenting experts, that's really not great. We're raising a narcissist.
We're raising a narcissist?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
So I think, and this made me laugh so much, something that one line of parenting experts suggests is using more neutral commentary. Which is funny because in your in my history, we have discussed neutral commentary a lot.
Well, as teachers, you grow very accustomed to using neutral statements just kind of in your teaching arsenal. So when a kid, especially in music, if a kid does something, like they perform something and it's not that good, but, you know, you don't want to discourage them and they're like, oh, what do you think? You're like, well, that was really something.
I don't know about that, but more like you really enjoyed playing.
You really played that.
You played that piece. Yeah. So I think we could do a little bit more of that with our guy.
I mean, he does. I think he understands maybe like vocal inflection and maybe intent more than he understands the words.
Sure.
So I understand what you're saying, because like for when he would, here's my thought though, he was struggling to get the cards in. So then when he would get the card in, I would clap, right?
Yes.
Because like, hey, you did a great job. Congratulations. Now I understand what you're saying, that we don't want him to always be seeking maybe that external thing.
Right. And I think according to this, saying, oh, you're good at that, or you did that, or you're so good, it's kind of fostering a competitive mindset, with the idea that like conquering the task is more important than taking pleasure in what you're doing.
So, oh my gosh, such a strong disagree on so many levels.
Tell us why.
Oh my gosh. If you want to be good at something, okay, in my opinion, the question is, what does that mean to be good at something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you, they're good, I think, is always based on a comparison. It could be a comparison to someone else's skills. It could also be, and this is perhaps more important, a comparison to your own previous skills, right? So for him, though, you know, he's not getting the card in. He is really frustrated that he's not getting the card in. You can tell he's ready to give up. To me, and I'm, who knows, you know, if he's going to become a serial killer because of this or not, but me clapping when he does get it in, or helping him get it in and then clapping, then he's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to try this one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what I was seeing. So to me, that's way better than he is not working out. Now he doesn't want to play with that. Now he's just upset.
Sure, sure. But I think we can find a way to praise, you know, the process and the effort, not just the result. In this very easy task, it's easy to praise the result.
So,
but
me,
as tasks get more difficult.
Well, give me, what is the neutral statement when he is not getting the card in the card slot?
Good try. Good effort. You tried.
He's 16 months old. Hey, buddy.
I know, but.
Good swing, buddy.
Yeah.
He's literally 16 months.
But getting in the habit of it, I don't think is crazy. And he understands. He really
he
does.
He doesn't understand good try.
Yes, he does.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. In our relationship, we've talked about neutral commentary because sometimes I will come out ready in an outfit and ask what you think. And you
oh,
say.
Yeah. No, this is more noticeable with, like, makeup tests.
Oh, okay.
Like, you, one time you came home from having your eyebrows done and they, like, used a Sharpie to really...
Sharpie.
Really, you know, bold, italicized, underline your eyebrows or whatever.
Sharpie. Okay.
And you're like, what do you think? And, you know, it's like, those are eyebrows. Let me tell you.
Yes. And I've also heard you say that's an outfit.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a set of eyebrows if I've ever seen them.
So basically we need to do more of that for our son.
I hear you. I definitely hear you. But I also think that perspective matters, right? So when you see him really enjoying something, another one that we love to do is like, we have a piano in like our, you know, living area. You know, we're a musician. So he'll randomly just walk over the piano and bang some keys.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, not bang. He respects this piano, okay?
Yeah, that's true. He bangs it with a hammer. No, he...
No!
No, no. But one thing that's interesting...
Don't worry,
is
listener.
...is he literally like went to the highest key and hit it, just that one key.
Yeah.
Then he went to opposite side, found the lowest key, hit that. That's amazing. And so because that's amazing, I'm naturally going to clap. Let me ask you, when you go to a music performance, at the end of the music performance, do you yell, or not even yell, just speak at sort of a room temperature volume and say, this was a concert?
Yes.
You know, you clap. I don't think there's anything wrong with clapping.
No. Nothing wrong, but maybe not every single task that he completes.
Okay. I mean, you know, I definitely think there's some merit there. And I do think the idea of practicing, like the one you said earlier that really comes to mind is he'll fall down and we will recognize that it's not a significant situation, you know, like he didn't hit his head, he just like slipped and fell on his butt a little,
mm-hmm.
and he may have gotten startled, so then he'll kind of like and we'll immediately go, oh, you're okay
now, right.
I know, because I've definitely reflected on why I say that. It's because I really want him to believe that he's okay,
uh-huh.
for me, and then like, so I'm almost trying to extend that to him. Like, I'm projecting that on him completely. So I totally get that aspect of things. Like, if he is startled, I should let him feel those feelings rather than, you know,
tell
try
him
and
how
suppress
he feels.
Them. Not mm-hmm. just that, but also try and make myself feel better kind of by calming him down. Because, like, again, I don't think it's a big deal in that action right now, but it's more about the practice of like, we need to practice now how we react to things, because, you know, practice makes permanent, as we say as music teachers. So same thing I think with parenting. Like, I when he fails or falls down or is upset about something in the future, I don't want to immediately say, just because I have maybe perspective and experience, to be like, oh, no, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
Right.
You know, and it may be true, but he also has to figure that out. Now, if he's like, Dad, what do you think? Then that's another story.
Yeah, and I think that applies to tantrums, which we're going to be experiencing in the next little while. And there's a lot written about how to handle tantrums as a gentle parent. I don't know if you remember, but the first daycare that we toured, they were really into gentle parenting, or some people call it discipline without shame, or disciplining with compassion and love. There's a bunch of different terms, but
what does that mean?
Well, the daycare, when we were touring, the first daycare we toured said, we are a no-free facility. We don't say the word no.
Oh, yeah, I see.
And we were a little confused by that, because, like, if the child bites someone, what do you say?
Yeah, you're like, good try, buddy.
Yeah, praise the effort.
Try again next time.
So I don't know the answer to that, but I'm sure in
if
this,
the kid is like setting the daycare on fire,
yeah.
you're like, hey, buddy, I love what you're doing, but
well,
you
I
know.
Think the idea is instead of saying no, you redirect, or you show them what an appropriate behavior
right.
would be. In some facets of this line of parenting, you can say, that's not okay, but that's like the worst you can say.
I don't know. I mean, I think this is very age specific, because like if you have an elementary school kid or older, I think
of course this is for toddlers.
Are really hard.
Yeah,
I think
for
even
toddlers.
Toddlers though. I think if your kid is 4 years old, like they're in many cases smart enough to realize that you're redirecting them to something that's maybe safer or less fun in their mind, but you know, something that's a desired activity for you. But they want to be jumping off the couch and doing somersaults or whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure. So basically, all in all, at the end of the article, she basically said, you got to find where your line is. Obviously, one end is like rigid structure. On the other end is letting the child take the lead. And most parents overthink it, just like we've done for the last 20 minutes. And you just have to kind of find where your comfort zone is.
Cool.
Another tenet of the gentle parenting, or like in the Big Little Feelings class, I think, is saying, and I feel like we hear this at the playgrounds. This is like very, as she says, in vogue right now. Like, oh, I know that's very frustrating for you, or that must be very frustrating for you. Or, oh, you wanted to put your left shoe on first? Well, we're put the other one on. I know that's hard. You know, always acknowledging the feeling. What do you think about that?
Well, I certainly think it's probably okay. I think that, like, while there is some truth and merit to validating their feelings, having, like, success or whatever, I mean, you know, kids be throwing temper tantrums about, like, you know, because the towel is purple and they want the towel to be green. You know what I mean?
I do. And the reality is sometimes you have to be out the door in 2 minutes and you got to put your coat on and your shoes on and we got to go. And we, I don't think, I'm thinking of myself, like, I'm not always going to have the patience at the time to say, oh, I'm sorry. I know you're frustrated that you wanted the green coat, but we're wearing the blue, whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't really experienced it yet, but I could definitely see myself going for kind of like an abstract, I agree with you mentality more so than, I know it must be tough that you want to put your left shoe on your right foot. I'm going to just be like, I know. I want to put my left shoe on my right foot too.
All right. Well, maybe we can check back in a few months and see how we're doing compared to how we think we're going to do.
Yeah. I mean, I think that actually this is one area where being teachers has given us some experience of like when you have a kid, feeling a particular way, it's more often helpful to just like try and see it from their perspective. And I think that that definitely extends to toddlers, even though they don't know what the heck they're upset about.
All right, let's move into our high-low weird.
High-low
weird.
Allison, what's your low of the week?
My low is really embarrassing.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like not proud to admit it on here, but I'm going to.
Wow, you're so hashtag brave.
So I did not know that you're not supposed to put your kid in their car seat in their coat.
You know what? Neither did I.
And I have been putting him in his car seat with his big puffy coat and stuffing him in there. And thankfully, a dear friend the other day
and dear listener
shared with me that that's a big no-no. And I just had no idea. I didn't even think about it. But of course, you have to loosen the straps to fit the big puffy coat. And then the car seat straps aren't as tight as they're supposed to be. And it kind of scares me that I've never heard that anywhere. I feel like I've done a lot of reading about various strategies and things you should know about parenting, and I've never seen that.
Well, I mean, as we always say, off the pod, and we've said it a number of times on the pod, like, where is the list, like, the definitive list where it just shows, like, all the things that you need to know? Because that's kind of a big one, and it totally makes sense, like, in retrospect, obviously, but it's just, like, we weren't thinking about it. And then what length or, what depth puffy jacket are we talking about? Like, a windbreaker's obviously fine, but in the wintertime now, it's, we're wearing, like, a huge
big
coat.
Yes, which, by the way, we got his coat for $8 at a thrift shop. Just want everyone to know.
Mm.
Okay, so
bargain hunting.
It's not a good feeling because it's like, what else am I missing? I had the same feeling when I was towards the end of my pregnancy and I heard for the first time that infants aren't supposed to have honey for the first year of their life. I had never heard that anywhere. I just happened to hear it from someone talking.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, is that real? And they said, oh, yeah, no, definitely no honey. And it's not like as soon as the baby came out, he was going to be eating honey anyway. But I just felt like, wow, that's probably something I should know. And I'd never heard that anywhere. And it's just, that's not a good feeling because you think, what else am I missing? So this car seat situation, I'm so lucky that, nothing has happened and we've been okay. And now I know, but it's not a great feeling to feel like, well, one, I wasn't doing the safest thing for my child. That's not a great feeling. And then two, what else am I missing? Because I just have never heard that. So that's my low. What's your low, Bri?
My low is related to the weather, actually. So it's kind of like my beef of the week, so to speak. It's
okay.
The cold brings extremely dry weather. So I am going to recommend a product here. Now, this is, I'm also a gardener on the side, so this is a great tool. You can get them in a 4-pack. They're pretty inexpensive on Amazon, but it's a temperature gauge and like humidity gauge.
Okay.
And they're digital. So I have like one in our room. Well, usually in the summer, I just have them outside. But then in wintertime, I collect them all from the garden and then put them in the house. And so it's like low 30s for humidity.
Uh-huh.
And, you typically want your house to be like 50% humidity. And, if anyone wants to at me in the comments about that, feel free to let me know a better number. But that's what Google has told me. And it's very hard to, like, stay on track of getting distilled water and, like, making sure that his room is not extremely dry all the time and our room's not. So That's my low of the week. I'm tired of it being dry. He has got dry skin. We've got dry skin. And our pediatrician was saying when you have dry skin like this, you can't really bathe him, like, certainly not every day. Like, right. You got to wait every 2 or 3 days because the soap and the water, like the warm water, kind of reacts with your skin.
True.
So that's my low.
Okay.
What about you? What's your high?
My high has just been hearing more talking. And does every parent feel this way? His voice is just the most angelic, beautiful sound I could ever even possibly imagine. When he talks, I'm like, oh my God, the angels are singing. I wonder why I think we're raising a narcissist. What's your high, Brian?
My high is a new system that you and I have worked out.
Okay.
So one thing that Allison and I have recently done, and now we've tried a couple different systems, but we've come to this one. And when we first wake up in the morning, this is a new system we've tried. We've tried, like, I'll do Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You do Tuesday, Thursday, or like alternating days.
Yeah. And it needs to be said that our guy still wakes up very early, even though he's sleeping better. He wakes up between 5:15 and 5:45 most days.
Right. Correct. And I would say specifically in the last 2 days, he got up at like 5.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so one thing that we've now tried is I still have back problems. So I can't, like, I'm really not supposed to physically lift him out of the crib. So you get him started, let's say, around, we'll just say 5:30.
Yep.
And you'll have him until 6:15-ish. And you're making a face. Why are you making a face?
It's not always that early.
It's always that early. Don't even pretend for a second. You're only saying that to try and preempt the next part.
No. It's so, like 6:30, 6:40, Brian comes out. So Brian stays in bed while get him up.
I stay in bed. And now let me be very clear. When I say I stay in bed, I want to make sure that I'm not implying that I fall back asleep. I wish I could fall back asleep, but that is just not a superpower that I have. So I kind of hear them doing their thing, whatever. So then I get up around 6:15. I come out, you know, start, you know, just joining our family, whatever, basically. At some point, you know, let's say 10 to 20 minutes later, Allison turns to me every morning like clockwork and says, okay, is it okay now if I just go lie down for like 15 or 20 minutes? And we do not see her then for 90 minutes. So it's actually a really good system, though, that we've set up, just because then we both kind of get a little bit of alone time with them. And also we both get a little bit of alone time by ourselves, which is really
in the
nice.
Morning.
Yeah. So,
yeah, and so it depends. If it's a weekend, I just go back to sleep.
Yeah.
If it's a work day, I might start
shower,
sleep a little,
like, take care of something.
Then
that you
shower,
actually have to
get
do.
Ready. Yeah.
Yeah. There, I think, like you were saying, basically, this was like the first time you had done your hair before work, like in a very long time. And it was like, oh, you know what?
Yep.
This system actually works for us. So, you know, obviously everybody's got to do what they got to do, you know, in your own co-parenting / relationship family situation. But yeah, this one seems to be working for us right now. So that's my high of the week.
Cool.
What's your weird?
My weird is just not wanting to be controlling with other people with him. An example is a golden rule we kind of live by in this house is if he is quiet, content, and happy without anyone interfering, then we do not talk to him. We do not make eye contact. We him be. So if he is playing with a toy, if he's eating happily, if he's looking at a book.
Yeah, we don't want to interfere.
And he's doing these things independently and happy. I don't go up to him. I don't start getting involved.
Right.
It's just that's
let
the golden
him,
rule.
Let him do his thing.
When we have guests and he's like quietly playing by himself and then they go over, hey, buddy. Oh, you want to look at this? And I'm like in
like,
the corner
fuck.
Being like, just leave him. But, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's just weird. Go.
That's a good weird. My weird is, and don't at me, Judge Judy, but basically, you know, when we're all at home, especially when it's cold, like our dog loves to go outside. I could just tell that our dog's getting really annoyed with our son. Like she's not being like, you know, aggressive with him or anything, but she'll, he'll just like, I don't know, in the last 3 weeks, I feel like he just realized that she's alive, basically. So he's like always going up to her, and he's really, really sweet with her, and she's really sweet with him. But maybe just because we're all cramped in the house with Snowmageddon over here, she's just like, dude, can you just give me some space? So she'll like go in the other room, or she'll just kind of like look at him and then look at us like, can you get your boy over here? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, not something I'm thrilled about, just because I could tell she wants a little space. But yeah,
just
it's
weird.
It's a weird, little bit of weird.
Hey, you know what? If you're putting your kid in the car seat with this giant winter coat because you just missed that memo in the parenting crash course.
Actually, I'm just going to cut you off there and say, I don't know if that one's probably okay.
Good point.
If you're in the kitchen just tie-dyeing spaghetti because you're trying to come up with something to keep your kid busy.
If you're spending twice as long preparing an activity than the time spent actually playing with that activity.
If you are waking up around 6:15 and you've just had maybe 15-20 minutes to yourself, and then your co-parent decides, you know what, I'm also going to have 15-20 minutes to myself, and then doesn't come back for 2 hours.
Oh my goodness. Wow. It's probably okay.
Do you want to take that one more time? You can kind of cut that how you like, but anyway. Any day now would be great. I wasn't saying like you had to correct yourself. I was just making fun of you. I looked it. Okay, wait. I do want to say the Guardian is a piece of shit rag, but okay, go on.
It's going to be a lot of editing. You better pay your producer overtime.
Okay. I think you have to say that in a more neutral way.
As weird as ugly.